Daniel.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us again for another episode of the Threat Reel podcast. This night's episode, we're going to discuss the RSA conference, and we're excited for this one for a couple of different reasons. For one, Threat Reel is going to be represented there. I am going to be participating as a member of the press, and I intend to conduct some interviews with some of the vendor sponsors, because RSA is a huge conference. So when a vendor sponsors it, they generally bring in a lot of their best engineers with them to discuss whatever questions people might have. And so it's not just you get the salesperson and the marketing person, but you actually get an opportunity to speak to real engineers that actually understand what they're doing. So that is going to be one aspect of this that we're looking forward to. The other thing we're looking forward to is that we know a speaker this year very well, and it is none other than my co-host.
Hello, my name is Mike K. Brown, and thank you very much for that, Matt. I was humbled to go through and to be accepted just my second year submitting a CFP to RSA to actually be accepted. And as we'll talk a little bit later, the origin of that talk actually started very close to the sweet city that we call home, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Great. Thank you so much, Micah. And for those who are listening, go ahead and give us the title of your talk.
So the title of the talk is WAF Made Easy. The evolution of this talk went through and actually got accepted at one of the world's largest information security conferences in the world.
One thing that I wanted to ask, since people who are listening may not automatically know this, what is a WAF?
A WAF is a web application firewall. So think of it as a compute-based system that sits in between a end user accessing your web application and your web application. It goes through, it intercepts, it inspects, it decrypts the web traffic. It looks for types of programmatic attacks, any type of oddities, and it makes permit or deny decisions based on the actual policy that you program.
Very good. And for anybody listening, how does that differ from, say, a conventional firewall?
So with most traditional firewalls, they only go through and they look very specifically at things like source IP, destination IP, source port, destination port. The traditional firewalls do not have the ability to deeply inspect traffic to look for those types of attack vectors. Usually that is something that you'd see more on your IDS, your IPS, intrusion detection system, intrusion prevention systems, as well as next generation firewalls.
Yeah, and I think for myself, I consider a traditional firewall really geared towards network traffic. The thing that I have worked with web application firewalls in my own professional experience is that they will often look for specific attacks, specific web attacks, and a lot of them have a firm basis in things like OWASP and the OWASP top 10. So they will look for things like injection is a good example. They will look for things like cross-site scripting, protocol abuse, and those are things that become important to protecting a website or web server that you don't generally get with a traditional firewall product. There are some that have some additional features that might catch some things, and there's always going to be a little bit of crossover when you look at a lot of different computer security solutions that venture from one aspect to another, but there are things that are much better served for certain purposes than others, given what those circumstances might be. And for anybody that has a website that they're trying to protect, those are definitely good to put in place to inspect traffic, look for bad things that are specifically targeting websites, web services. And the other thing to bear in mind is it's an interesting topic because I think security researchers on one side are trying to stop the bad traffic. People who do offensive security will often have to try to find ways to bypass web application firewalls. So these things ebb and flow, and it's very much that cat and mouse model where people that focus on offensive and defensive security are always trying to figure each other out and always trying to come up with ways to stop the other, or in the case of offensive security, prevent being stopped by things like web application firewalls.
Absolutely. As you know, I have had a little bit of experience over the past year, year and a half, dipping my toes into application security and web application firewalls.
And one thing I'd like to state for the audience, I'm a little bit later in announcing this than I should be in other episodes, but the opinions that are expressed by us and our participation in this podcast don't necessarily reflect the views or opinions of our employers. And with that in mind, can I ask you, since you've deployed web application firewalls, a little bit about your experiences with that?
So that's a very interesting question. I know you and I have had a running joke over the past year, year and a half, where I've joked that the WAF project is the worst project that I've ever worked on. And actually, that was a running joke when I presented it originally to our Cincinnati local group. But it's very interesting because one of the challenges with a web application firewall is you have to have a lot of IT and IT security disciplines come together in order to be successful during a deployment. So my talk really is about the framework that I came up with when I initially joined the web application firewall project that was already in flight to ensure that we could go through and we could deploy in a very fast, very agile manner. So it comes down to dividing roles and responsibilities between somebody that has the traditional IT architecture, the traditional networking, and being responsible for the build phase. And that's where I am. And then once we fully build a web application firewall, we put it in line in transparent non-blocking mode. I handed it off to a person that really understood application and application development, an application security engineer. And that was our tuning phase. And then once we went through, got the web application firewall tuned and put it in blocking mode, gave it, say, a 2-week bake-in process, we would transfer that over to the support team. So really, the heart of my talk at RSA is talking about the build, the tune, and the support so that other people who go through and find themselves needing to deploy web application firewalls can have a proven vendor-agnostic methodology, a roadmap to success.
Excellent. And of course, we are promoting the RSA conference, or specifically your talk at the RSA conference. The conference this year, traditionally, I believe, runs in closer to the beginning of the year. I don't recall if it's late January or early February, but I believe it's somewhere in that time frame. This year, because of the pandemic, it had been pushed back from early in the year to May 17th through May 20th. So a little bit different timing. And do you know specifically when your talk might be available?
Yes, mine is on the 17th. So I'm starting out the conference. For those of you listening, the way that RSA is doing that is many of the talks, such as my own, have been pre-recorded, but I'm going to be in the live chat answering questions. You know, given that this is a virtual conference, it's kind of humbling, and it presents a couple different challenges, especially to people like myself, that really, when I go through and I talk in front of people, when I go through and do present, I really feed off of the live crowd. So just going through and talking into a camera lens, that presented a couple different challenges, but it also goes through and means that we can go through and we can attend this conference everywhere, as well as it gives us unique opportunities to go through and to consume on demand.
All excellent points. And you have actually, at least in the past, attended an RSA conference. Is that correct?
Yeah. So back a couple years ago, I did go through and I attended an RSA conference. And the first thing that blew me away was just the sheer scale of the conference in and of itself, how many people there were there, all the various different types of activities from traditional talks to breakout guided talks amongst IT security practitioners.
The bulk of the conferences I go to are typically in the hundreds of attendees, some perhaps a little bit larger than that. But when you go from typically going to conferences where there's hundreds of attendees to all of a sudden tens of thousands of attendees, and it really is a bit of a culture shock, I think, from the sense that even trying to move from point A to point B, and it's shoulder to shoulder, and I think that might have a lot to do with why RSA is a virtual or online-only conference this year, as opposed to in the past where it had always been an on-premises conference, with the exception of last year. Obviously, last year, a lot of things either, one, canceled, or two, postponed, or some things just as they drew closer to the event date, simply converted to virtual online-only conferences. What do you think the differences might be between those who are perhaps have been to one of these in person in the past, and all of a sudden they might be going to their first online-only version of the RSA conference?
I have a mentee at my 9-to-5 in which I was able to get them a free ticket to go down and to partake in one of the smaller conferences, the Kentuckiana ISSA was holding their conference a couple of years ago. And there's something really interesting that went through and just gave me a little bit of a chuckle. And I'm at a certain place in my career where I've been to a lot of conferences. And especially at these small to medium hacker conferences, you have some really amazing talent that are getting up there and speaking. And not to take anything away from them, but a lot of times I see that various talks from year to year go through, and they're not the exact same talks, but they kind of follow the same rhythm, the same rhymes. And so where my mentee was excited jumping from room to room to room, I was more going through and chilling out in the common areas, at LobbyCon, if you were, having individual or a group or a conversation with a small group of people. And, you know, to me, that's where I get a lot of my value when I go to conferences these days, is by those small, intimate communications, talks practitioner to practitioner. And, you know, that's a great thing that a con goes through and allows you to do. But likewise, some people, they get their value from running talk to talk to talk. And when we started entering these Zoom, these virtual calls, we find ourselves sitting in the same area, staring at the same screen for hours on end. And I hear a lot of people expressing the Zoom fatigue. There is something to be said for that. I regularly go through, and there have been some absolutely great independent conferences set up from people like Black Hills Information Security, from Scythe, that I absolutely love logging on to those during the day. But I try to make sure that I'm going through and I'm spacing out how I go through and how I interact with those types of content. So, you know, I'm very lucky in that I have a real nice elliptical. So there have been times that I've attended those types of talks while I'm working out, while I'm going for a walk. Sure, sometimes I'll be in my workroom and I'll go through and I'll attend there, but other times I'll change it up. I might go into a different room. I might go sit outside by a nice fire. Just going through and trying to vary how I'm participating with them. I mean, heck, for some of the conferences like Circle City Con, I attended the virtual keynote down at the Hofbro House, having a wonderful lunch and a beautiful beer.
Yeah, I think what people want to get out of a conference can vary from personality to personality, from objective to objective. And I don't know that there's a right or wrong way to conference, if you will, attend a conference. I think that it's one of these things where you get an opportunity to do what makes sense for you. And anybody can look at the schedule ahead of time and try to figure things out. And I think if one particular thing gets perhaps a little bit too overwhelming, or a situation where people just are needing a break, certainly you can take a break, but people can also do other things. So most of the big conferences have different villages that people can participate in. They have different areas of focus. They have Capture the Flag events. And I think that for myself, I really enjoy just dabbling in a CTF just to kind of break up the monotony a little bit. And for those who don't know, Capture the Flag events, or CTFs, are an opportunity to practice security skill sets. And these are challenges, and they can be offensive security related. They can be defensive security related. They can be just routine technical knowledge related. There's a lot out there. And you talked about web application firewalls. There are certainly AppSec villages that will test your ability to protect or attack different web environments or challenges therein. So those are other things that, the bigger the conference, the more those kinds of things there are. And it really boils down to what sounds interesting to you. And it can even be things like physical security and picking locks. And why is that important for information technology or information security? May not be apparent right off the bat till you realize that these are people that could be breaking into your data center, trying to figure out how those security controls work and how they can be defeated. Just how good is the security protecting your sensitive areas?
Absolutely. And you hit on a very wise point. There's no wrong way to do a conference. And one thing that I've fallen into the trap of is that more and more, especially like these medium to large events, they are more and more posting their videos for free out on YouTube or out on their own media sites. And now sometimes it's more immediate than others. Other times you have to wait a couple weeks, wait a couple months, but you can get a lot of great information for free that way.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And Threat Reel, we'll be right back after these brief messages to discuss more about the RSA conference. Thank you for listening to the all-new Threat Reel podcast. Join security engineer practitioners and show hosts Matt Shear and Micah Brown for new episodes on the second and fourth Friday each month. Available on all major podcast hosting platforms. With a technical focus, the Threat Reel podcast interviews industry peers, discusses information security news, covers industry events, and reviews trends in cybersecurity. Visit us online at ThreatReel.com. Threat Reel.
Would you like to hear your organization's ad playing during the next episode of the Threat Reel podcast, or perhaps sponsor a monthly banner ad on ThreatReel.com? We are now accepting sponsorships. To get in on our affordable ground floor flat rate pricing for 2021, please contact us by emailing sponsor@ThreatReel.com for additional details. That's sponsor@ThreatReel.com.
As frequent speakers at information security conferences across the country, Threat Reel podcast hosts Matt Shear and Micah Brown understand the importance of protecting valuable data. Compromised and rogue wireless access points make it possible for cybercriminals to hijack your data in transit, then steal login credentials, digital photos, financial data, personally identifiable information, private messages, and more. The best way to protect that information, other than powering down all your electronics, is by tunneling wireless connections through a securely encrypted VPN tunnel. Matt and Micah recommend using a VPN service offering extensive cross-platform support. ThreatReel podcast listeners are eligible for up to a 68% discount off NordVPN services. Please visit ThreatReel.com/NordVPN for details. Again, that's ThreatReel.com/NordVPN. With RSA, there's not just one ticket and you're in. They have actually a few different levels in which you can get a ticket for the conference. And there is a digital expo pass, which simply lets folks typically network with sponsors, maybe hit a few of the keynotes, and still get some good value out of there for a relatively inexpensive ticket. And I don't know that I've seen it recently, but if you have a security vendor that you work with and they are a sponsor for the conference, sometimes you can reach out to your contacts there and ask if they have complimentary passes. And so it may not be the equivalent to the pass that gets you all the cool stuff, but you can still find value there for relatively inexpensive. They also have sort of the standard pass, which they call a content pass, and those can be a little pricier, but you do with that get access to more things. You mentioned the on-demand recordings, and it'll get you access to on-demand recordings, and you get those sooner rather than later. As you said, good things can come to those who wait, but the nice thing is, I know for myself, I've attended conferences, and the challenge becomes I've got two things I'm really interested in. They just so happen to fall at the same time, so I have to kind of pick one, and that's a good option that you have with the, you know, the more expensive ticket, a chance to not just sit in on the sessions you want, but also have quicker turnaround time for those sort of things. And all of them will get you, for example, the Digital Expo. You can always talk to a lot of the different vendors that are sponsoring the conference and so forth, regardless of your ticket level. Then there's the All Access Pass, which is a little more money, but it includes interactive learning sessions, the RSAC sandbox, and also an ability to network with attendees. You kind of hit on some of that earlier, where it is a lot more challenging with a virtual conference because you don't just often bump into a random, interesting, knowledgeable person with some very interesting perspectives just out of happenstance. That tends to not happen quite so much at virtual conferences the way it does in real life conferences. And you mentioned LobbyCon, certainly a great place when you're sitting around the hotel lobby and you see other people, and you can usually identify everybody pretty easily because everybody that's attending the conference typically is wearing some sort of a badged style identification to show that they are in a conference attendee.
And we're wearing similar backpacks.
Absolutely. So you can pretty easily identify, and I've just had interesting conversations where I've interjected myself in the middle of. I've had some where I just was fascinated with what they were talking about and didn't have that level of subject matter expertise and just eavesdropped in and would ask, well, what do you think? Hey, I'm just enjoying the conversation. It's some really good information. And that was an acceptable answer. And nobody's like, hey, why don't you go away or leave us alone? That didn't happen. It was, you're more than welcome to sit in and listen on the conversation if you're getting something of value out of it. And you try to thank people for you take off, or, you know, just acknowledge that, thank you for the knowledge share. I've learned some interesting things, or been reminded of some interesting things that maybe I once knew but haven't looked at in so long that I sort of forgot about. And conferences are really good for that kind of experience.
There have been a ton of conferences where I'll have sat inside a lecture in the presentation, and I'll, of course, be taking notes. I might even hold my phone up to take a quick screenshot of what they're showing on the board. But then I come back at a later time and I rewatch it just so that I can further expand on what my initial feelings, what I was learning there in that instance, and take in more of what the presentation was trying to convey.
Definitely a great point. And one of the things to note about RSA conferences, it's such a grand scale, but it's also not a particularly inexpensive conference compared to, for example, a $20 or $25 B-Sides conference. It's a different experience. It's also a lot more stuff in one area happening at one time. So the chance to find something that you're super interested in or be able to bounce from thing to thing to thing is often more available or accessible at your larger conferences, such as RSA. One of the things that they have done is that they actually have an option to justify your attendance, or rather a link to justify your attendance, which essentially is a boilerplate informational message that you can send to your manager, something like that, that will give the benefits of an employer perhaps financing a ticket to RSA or letting you expense a ticket such as that. So those are interesting options, and they understand at RSA conference that it's a little bit of a pricey ticket, and maybe even more than that is just asking for the time to not work on work tasks and projects, but to actually use it for a learning experience. And that's really what they highlight in that. And they actually have a form letter that's crafted that will help folks know what they can propose to their manager if they're trying to get an authorization or perhaps some sort of work reimbursement to attend a conference like this.
So another thing that you can do is many of the premium sponsors are gifted so many even full access tickets. So if you do talk to your sales manager, your contacts within IT security companies that you work with, that you partner with, it is possible to be gifted, if your company policy allows that, a ticket to these types of conferences.
Yeah, and that's a great point, that certainly the employer has to be okay with it. There are a lot of ethics laws, and depending where you work, that could be a situation, particularly if you're working for a government agency, that type of thing. They have a lot more rules and regulations. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It never hurts to ask. That's a situation where you might want to check with your internal folks, your manager, before then approaching vendors about it. But definitely good strategies. And what I hope is that the audience doesn't just think, well, if I don't get into an RSA conference, that it is going to be something where I'm completely missing out. As you said, a lot of times content will be delivered available outside of the conference if you're willing to wait. A lot of speakers, I know for myself and also for you, that we don't typically just give a big talk at one and only one conference. I have done that before, but I think most of my talks I've given at multiple conferences specifically to hit different audiences. And so I might give a talk at a larger conference, but then I will then start going to make rounds at some of the smaller conferences to give that talk again. And just looking at the speaker list for RSA this year, and it's impressive like it is every year. What I can tell our listeners is they've heard us talk about the SIMPA Security SIG meetings, and we've actually had a pretty good number of RSA conference speakers at the Hackers Night meeting in December, our SIMPA Security SIG meetings. So my main point here is that it's not one of these situations usually where RSA might be your only chance. It might be your only chance for a while. And I think if you have an opportunity to attend and see something that is of particular interest, then when the opportunity is there to do so, it makes perfect sense to do that. But you know, all hope isn't lost if you're not able to attend one of these. But hopefully most of our listeners are, and we've given them some tips and tricks on ways to try to finance it if it's a little hefty out of pocket. And for particular people that are kind of entry level, or they're trying to break in information security, students, things like that, I understand that you're asking somebody to spend hundreds of dollars could definitely be a challenge. So there are other things out there. But and I would also encourage people, look at smaller conferences as well. I try to attend things that are as big as RSA to as small as local B-side security conferences in a particular city if it's within driving distance. And I've always gotten a lot out of both. There's pros and cons to both. There are different, you know, feelings that I get going to one versus the other. It's just great to have an opportunity to experience conferences of differing sizes, in my opinion.
Absolutely. So you and I, Matt, being in the same city, we seem to find ourselves at the same type of event. And to be honest, when I went to RSA, you know, I was relatively new, having made the transition from just the networking guy to the IT security role. And, you know, I was legitimately overwhelmed with the size and the vastness of RSA. And it really was quite humbling. Whereas smaller conferences like Derby, like Circle City Con, like the Central Ohio Information Security Summit, even though they're smaller, it's almost easier to go through and to approach and have those smaller conversations with a couple of IT security practitioners to make friends. It just feels a little bit more open to me at some of these smaller to medium-sized conferences, because I know I was overwhelmed. And even though I got a ton out of my initial RSA, it still was a bit overwhelming. I mean, Vendor Alley, that was like 5 or 6 football fields put together.
Yeah, and something that comes to mind based on that is it's a little easier to meet with a small group of folks in a corner of a lobby and have conversations than it is in the middle of a busy hallway at a huge conference trying to speak over 50,000 people.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've had some really great conversations with some of the titans of our industry just in the hallways. And my experience is that pretty much every conference that I've gone to, I've had absolutely positive interactions with people there and had a blast.
Absolutely. One thing I wanted to highlight are, what were some of the trends that you maybe observed when you were looking at the speaker schedule and the conference schedule?
Sure. So, you know, over the past few years, besides just being the networking person, I've been drawn into more of the data security roles. So things like DLP, things like the WAF, and learned a lot of things about our organization and how to go through and operate over the past year. And if you think about it in an interesting way, you know, I work for a very large organization as you two. How many new offices have you been charged personally with protecting over the past year? For me, it's several thousand, not to get into a specific number. And if you think about the devices that are on individuals' home networks, where we've been going through and in this remote working, you know, we have things like Internet of Technologies, we have Xboxes, we have PlayStations, we have things that we do not control. We have zero authority that are on the same networks as our organizational assets. So for me, looking for the future, you know, things like looking at zero trust, and trust me, I've got a ton of those zero trust type talks going through and flagged to attend. Other things that I'm looking at is multi-cloud security monitoring. So as a very large organization, I have to interact and protect multiple different cloud environments. So how can I do that effectively at scale? One of the topics that I'm very interested in is when we go through and we put a pause on the technical type of skills, and we talk more about our ability to communicate with the business. How can we go through and take very technical types of discussion and make it so that our business leadership can go through, can understand? How can we go through and show a return on value, a return on investments, so that we can quantify what we are doing as a good partner, as a good enabler to the organization, so we're not just quote unquote Dr. No.
All great points. And I think for myself, the one thing I would like to add is that I also have some people that are on my must-see speaker list. They are people that it doesn't matter even almost what they're talking about to an extent, because I've seen some of the topics they've covered in the past. And of course, Micah Brown. I mean, who could pass up seeing Micah Brown on a schedule and not want to attend that talk?
Well, my best talk is behind me with my DerbyCon 9 talk, in which I went through and cooked 4 pork butts, 2 steak dinners, and 1 chicken dinner, and gave it away all for free from the convenience of my hotel room, that is.
Yeah, I remember helping with that a little bit. So those were definitely good times. Why don't we go ahead and, since we've been talking about things we talk about, things we're involved in, let's go ahead and close out our show as we usually do by talking about the events that we have that are upcoming. Obviously, we've discussed you, Micah, speaking at RSA and given the date on that. I have a to-be-determined talk coming up at a WAMSA, that's the Women's Security Alliance event on increasing the talent pool in Central and Southwest Ohio. Stay tuned for that. Hopefully I have a date soon. Also, I'm going to be hosting the May SIMPA Security SIG meeting, and I have two talks scheduled for that. One is called What is a Pen Tester with Cameron Mayers, and I'm going to be working with him actually on setting up some live demo for that. And then I have GCP security basics and automation. Certainly cloud is taken off and everybody's trying to figure out how to secure the cloud. So should be a good talk with a former coworker friend of mine, Kevin Minus. And that is going to be on Thursday, May 20th from 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That's a free meeting. And Micah, you want to go ahead and talk about, you have, I believe, two other conferences lined up already as well.
Yes, I do. So I do have the Central Ohio Information Summit in Columbus, Ohio, and that I'm going to be giving my Doing Simple at Scale, which I originally performed at the Cincinnati SIMPA SIG last year. And so that's always a great conference. They're virtual this year. Golly, I can't wait to get back to in-person conferences. Then we have Circle CityCon, also another virtual conference. In there, I'm going to be doing two talks. The first one is I'm going to be doing a solo talk in which I go through and I talk about how, as a youth, the customizable card game Magic the Gathering prepared me for a life in InfoSec, and then I'm going to go through and release a virtual machine that shows a modern approach to going through and to documenting your security controls, your processes, your people in a very sleek, very Web 2.0, Web 3.0, Web 4.0, however you want to go through and define that approach, as well as I'm doing my second tag team collaboration with one of our Cincinnati SIMPA SIG attendees, in which I'm going through and helping this individual go through and do their first actual presentation at a major IT security conference about how to go through and to build a technical company through data privacy.
Excellent. Retro returns after these messages. Thank you for listening to the all-new Threat Real podcast. Join security engineer practitioners and show hosts Matt Shear and Micah Brown for new episodes on the second and fourth Friday each month. Available on all major podcast hosting platforms. With a technical focus, the Threat Real podcast interviews industry peers, discusses information security news, covers industry events, and reviews trends in cybersecurity. Visit us online at ThreatReal.com. Threat Real.
Would you like to hear your organization's ad playing during the next episode of the Threat Reel podcast, or perhaps sponsor a monthly banner ad on ThreatReel.com? We are now accepting sponsorships. To get in on our affordable ground floor flat rate pricing for 2021, please contact us by emailing sponsor@ThreatReel.com for additional details. That's sponsor@ThreatReel.com.
As frequent speakers at information security conferences across the country, Threat Real podcast hosts Matt Shear and Micah Brown understand the importance of protecting valuable data. Compromised and rogue wireless access points make it possible for cybercriminals to hijack your data in transit, then steal login credentials, digital photos, financial data, personally identifiable information, private messages, and more. The best way to protect that information, other than powering down all your electronics, is by tunneling wireless connections through a securely encrypted VPN tunnel. Matt and Micah recommend using a VPN service offering extensive cross-platform support. ThreatRail Podcast listeners are eligible for up to a 68% discount off NordVPN services. Please visit ThreatRail.com/NordVPN for details. Again, that's ThreatRail.com/NordVPN. Details on the events we've discussed and links to register for them, including additional details, are always available on our website, ThreatRail.com.
One other conference. Now, I am not yet speaking there, but I do have a ticket to Blue Team Con, which is a Blue Team, a defensive-focused IT security hacking conference. So I'm really interested to see on what that's going to look like. And that's up in Chicago. The tickets are out on sale now. They just opened up the hotel room rate, so I'm planning to go through and to attend that currently.
Thank you very much for that, Micah. I hope that our listeners will tune in on our next episode, scheduled for May 28th, when we do our post-RSA conference review, so that folks get an idea of what we got out of attending that conference and the things that we found most interesting, the things we learned. I'm really looking forward to that next episode, and I hope that our listeners are as well. I would like to thank our listeners for tuning in and listening to another episode of ThreatRail Podcast. Or if you're a first-time listener, welcome, and thank you for checking us out. We really appreciate that. Please visit our website on ThreatRail.com. From there, at the bottom of the page, are links to our social media sites, our YouTube channel. If you're interested, please subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. Please wish us well. We are a couple of real security engineers facing real threats. All In Podcast Music, copyright 2021, Dave Whitener. Visit online at davewhitener.com/music. Used with permission by ThreatRail.